bigger and brighter, the better. Stickies loathed norms. Talk of the possibility of the vile creatures being in the region killed all conversation for a while. Time had no meaning for Ryan. There was only a total dull blackness with no sense and no sight and no sound. His pulse was slow and irregular, his breathing even slower. The old man had carefully washed him and redressed him. Amazingly, his clothes had more or less survived the dreadful fall and the torrent, though the Sig Sauer had been removed from its holster and hung on a hook behind the rickety door of the shack, the gun cleaned and oiled. During the first 24 hours, after dragging the apparently lifeless body from the muddy fringe of the river, where it had snagged on a fallen live oak, the man had tried to feed him warm potato soup, but Ryan's mouth remained limp, letting the liquid trickle back out again. Even a spoonful of clear spring water was ignored, barely touching the dry, cracked lips.
Live or fucking die. Not much to me.
The spark of life was tiny and remote, gradually flickering toward extinction. The pork was delicious. Though the boar had obviously been a tough old animal, the flesh was rich and tender, flavored delicately by the herbs that grew wild among the tall trees.
The smell of this must be drifting for a good 20 miles.
Would have been good for bringing some customers. Kind of free advert.
As long as it doesn't bring in the bears and the wolves and all the vermin. Wonder whether anyone could manage a mite more if we was to slice some more?
Nobody answered for a while, considering the possibility. Jack licked his thin, pale lips. Christy stood, shaking her head.
I should be moving on before it gets dark. Get back to our search.
The three hunters all shuffled to their feet, wiping their hands on greasy trousers before shaking them with the five companions.
Best of luck. We find your friend and there's a burial needed, we'll do it right.
I feel a call of nature coming on. A sudden spasm of intestinal pressure. So much rich meat after a relative dearth of sustenance. Would you all mind waiting a moment or two while I retire to do the necessary?
Huh?
It means he's taking a dump.
Oh.
Duty calls and I must away. Over the hills and far away.
Doc wandered off from the camp, the wondrous odor of the roasting pork gradually fading behind him as he picked a path through the thick forest. He brushed against the moss-covered trunks of ancient pines, stumbling through the deep leaf mold, which made his Victorian frock coat even more stained.
Oh, perdition. Confusion as I wander alone upon this winding path through a tortuous wilderness. All I have need of now is a dark tower to come to.
He smiled to himself, pausing a moment as he saw a clearing ahead of him.
Perhaps it will be a pretty restroom made of gingerbread and sugar icing. Or a grim place. Grim. How clever.
Very little direct sunlight penetrated to the forest floor, and there was a dank alien smell hanging in the air.
Like the cave of a hibernating grizzly, or the home of a family of incontinent felines. Unpleasant. Best do what I have to and be on my way.
Doc leaned his cane against a handy spruce, then plucked a handful of broad leaves to clean himself. He dropped his pants. Then he looked around with a sudden attack of nerves, fancying himself no longer alone, but he could see no one near. He reached blindly for his sword stick, but he couldn't find it. Doc pulled his pants back up as he turned. His cane was held in the suckered fingers of a tall sticky, one of a band of half a dozen, all leering at him.
By the three Kennedys!
At times of sudden shock or tension, Doc had an unfortunate tendency to freeze. All the time-trawling experiences that had blighted his life, plucking him from his happy family in 1896 to the late 1990s, then shunting him forward to the corroded heart of Deathlands, had shifted his mind several points off-center. Now he stood and stared at the half-circle of grinning stickies, looking around at their pale, glittering eyes, the drooling mouths, soft lips barely concealing the needle teeth, their eager hands, the suckers opening and closing with a malignant life of their own.
Shitting norm.
Doc casually allowed his right hand to fall to the butt of the cannon-sized Lamar pistol on his hip, feeling the reassuring chill of the etched walnut.
You got other shitters? Eating pig?
limited vocabulary, my dear fellow.
How many, you shitters?
An infinite number, alpha to epsilon.
Stop talk shit! You get chilled.
Doc considered the oldest trick in the book, deciding that it was just about the only trick available to him, with the muties clustered so close around him. Warning the others was the main requirement.
I won't get chilled, my raggedy friends.
Suddenly he pointed behind them with his left hand.
Shoot them, friends!
To his delight and amazement, it worked on the stickies like a magic charm. Every one of them swung around to stare suspiciously into the pitchy shadows beneath the trees. Doc drew the Lama. The one holding the cane was almost blown in two. His blue-pink guts were tangled around his ankles. The two to his left were also down. One was writhing on the ground, holding his shredded groin. The other was kneeling against a tree, grasping his thighs as his blood flowed freely over his open sores. The remaining three stickies were totally shocked by the thunderous roar of the handgun, bemused by the great cloud of powder smoke that enveloped them. The frail old man who they'd been about to butcher had produced a weapon of the gods. The only problem with the Lama was that it took a few fumbling seconds to change the hammer from the scatter gun to the chamber holding the nine rounds of 44 calibers. Doc recalled JB's warning words, repeated many times.
Fire it and run.
He paused only a moment to snatch up the fallen sword stick, wincing at the stickiness of the warm blood that streaked its smooth, polished wood, then turned and ran back in what he hoped was the right direction.
That's Doc,
huh?
JB was a nanosecond behind him, his head turning as he tried to locate the precise direction of the distant shot. The three hunters froze, gripping their own muskets.
What kind of blaster's that? Like a fucking cannon!
That way!
Jack was already moving, light-footed, like a wraith through the black shadows under the trees, his Colt Python in his right hand, looking disproportionately large in his skinny fingers.
To me, friends! Stickies!
Coming, Doc!
Generally, JB wouldn't have wanted to give their unseen enemies any warning of reinforcements. The old man sounded as though he needed encouragement, as well as a voice to aim at in the woods. A few paces ahead of JB, Jack dropped to his knees and leveled the big gun.
Go left, Doc!
Doc immediately dodged right.
Damn!
The teenager adjusted his aim. Guns weren't Jack's strong point. Luckily, JB was behind him with his Uzi. Doc was still running when he reached Christy, who reached down and grabbed him by the arm.
Whoa, Beck. You're safe now, Doc.
Walked straight into them. Are they done for?
All dead, Doc. How many did you take out?
Certainly one, and I think two others.
Best take a look. Keep together.
The three hunters caught up with him, staring ahead at the three corpses.
There are more?
Three. I most certainly sent one from this Vale of Tears, and I believe I wounded the other two rather severely.
Right. Stay alert.
There was a corpse. Its guts spilled all around it. The one hit in the groin was close to death. Its feeble attempts to stem the arterial blood from the shotgun pellets weren't enough. Its watery eyes turned up at the sight of the Norms.
Don't waste a bullet on it. You said another one, Doc?
Yes. I believe I hit it in the legs.
Lot of blood this way. Dragged itself away.
Best chill it. Stop it reaching any camp if there's more of them around.
Jack nodded and ran into the shadows, while the others waited in silence. In the excitement, it was one of the hunters who noticed that all of the dead muties wore the remains of shackles and chains. Ankle locks had worn a deep wheel in the sticky's flesh, while two had rusting iron links hammered around their throats.
Someone's been working them. Heard of slavers owning plantations farther west on the Sippy. All kinds of stories about it.
Like what?
Heard a couple of names. Been hearing them around Deathlands most of my life. Swift and evil.
Gert Wolfram and the Magus?
The expressions on the faces of the three hunters told him that he'd hit the center of the target.
Right. You crossed their paths before, mister?
Some. Used to ride with a man called Trader. He knew them years ago. Gert Wolfram is supposed to be the fattest person in all Deathlands. Gross. He's known as the person who first discovered stickies could be caught and slaved. Man he sold them to was called the Magus.
They call him the Warlock.
And the Sorcerer. They say he's only part human.
I heard that also. Then again, I heard plenty of stories about them both. You reckon they might be involved with these stickies?
It's too late to ask them now, JB.
Jake stooped over the Sticky who'd been groin shot and had just died.
A couple got whip marks on their backs. This one and the bastard the old man chilled.